It's the most bizarre feeling to be preaching this today. I'm having to prepare my sermons very early these days so as to be able to send them out in the post. So I'm writing this on Monday, recording it on Tuesday, which means I'm preaching about Easter Sunday before the Last Supper, before Gethsemane, before Golgotha. I'm celebrating the resurrection before the death. It's a weird situation. Matthew 16, verses 21 to 23 says this. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Later on in Matthew 20, verses 17 to 19, we read, Now as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took his 12 disciples aside and said to them, We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death, and will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day he will be raised to life. Do you ever wonder what the disciples must have thought about these prophecies by Jesus? He too talks about his resurrection before he's died. We have to realise that this is one more place where Jesus wasn't fulfilling anyone's expectations. The Messiah was never expected to be the resurrected one, because he wasn't expected to have died in the first place. The resurrection of the Messiah was unimaginable to the disciples, because the death of the Messiah was unimaginable. Hence Peter's reaction when Jesus first began to speak of his death. But Peter wasn't just concerned about Jesus' identity as Messiah. Peter was one of Jesus' closest friends. It isn't a question of I can't believe this would happen to the king, but a question of I can't believe this would happen to someone I care about. And that's such a human reaction, isn't it? Especially the part where he ignores the resurrection and is concerned only with the death of Jesus. I suspect that was partly because the idea of a resurrection in normal life before the final judgment day was incomprehensible to him. We understand death to some extent. We can picture death. However much we hate it, we know what it is and what it looks like, and we think we know what it means. And the thought of that happening to someone we love is terrible. And we, with Peter, deny it. That shall never happen to you. The problem is, it does happen. Jesus knows it's going to happen. I think Peter knows it's going to happen too, really. And we know it's going to happen. Sooner or later, we will encounter death, whether our own or that of others. We don't know when, we don't know how. We might want to deny it and put it off for as long as possible, but we know it will come. It was coming to Jesus in the worst possible way, but he alone could look beyond it to what followed. He alone understood the end from the beginning. He alone realised that there was more. So Jesus tried to prepare his disciples for what was to come. He tried to prepare them for the horrors that he would face, that they would face in seeing him. Did they understand? There seemed to be times when they did. There were times when they claimed to be prepared to die, even though when it came down to it, their instinct took over and they ran. Jesus seems to have prepared his disciples for the fact that he would be killed. They might not have wanted to believe it, they might have denied it and hoped to prevent it. But when it came to Good Friday, I think the disciples knew what was happening. No one wants the ones they love to die, especially not in an agonising, drawn-out death. If we knew they were doing it for us, it wouldn't make it any better, would it? Given the choice between my friend dying as a hero or not dying at all, I know which I would choose. If they said, I'm dying to save you, we might even argue with it. A As I wrote this, I started to think about heroes. A year ago, we would have considered our heroes as the men and women who go out as soldiers and fight against evil, putting their lives on the line in the name of freedom and justice to bring about peace. The heroes who walk into the line of fire for the love of their country and their comrades. A year ago, we would have hailed Jesus as Prince of Peace who died in just this way for us. And that's true. Today, though, we have a very different set of heroes. The heroes who aren't out to fight, who never intended their lives to be on the line, but who find themselves in that situation and carry on anyway. Perhaps they walk into work every day out of love for others, knowing that this could be the day they contract the virus, but unable to leave their patients without help. Perhaps they do it in fear, reluctantly, just because this is what I signed up to and I can't back out now. You know, Jesus was a bit of both. In Gethsemane, he showed that he was afraid, that he would have preferred another way. But he did what he had to do. He refused to leave us when we needed him. Today, as we think of Jesus' death on the cross, perhaps we can think of him not just as a victor over an army, but as a healer of lives, even if it meant losing his own. But I digress. Jesus was predicting to his disciples his death on the cross. For them, for us, for the world. That death in their minds was the thing they could grasp, the thing they could hold on to, the thing they understood. They didn't like it, they didn't want it, but they knew it would come. They mostly tried to stop it by dissuading him from going to Jerusalem, by rebuking him for talking about it, even in the Garden of Gethsemane by drawing a sword. But there was one person who never tried to stop it, and that was Jesus. Why did Jesus never try to stop what he knew was coming? Why did he allow himself to be betrayed, taken, flogged, crucified? Why was he so prepared to face death? It wasn't just because he was intent on our salvation, although he was. It wasn't just because he loved us. Although, of course, he did. It was because he knew what would happen next. Hebrews 12, verse 2 tells us that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus could face death, even a painful, terrible, suffering death, because he knew what was on the other side. This is what the disciples didn't understand. This is what they didn't want. They couldn't face the death of their friend and master because they thought that was the end. They knew Good Friday was coming, but they didn't understand that Easter Sunday followed. How many people are like that today? How much fear and despair is there in the world because people do not understand that the resurrection is a real, true event? That Jesus has broken the chains of death and risen from the grave and that we will follow him. That death is not the end, that eternity awaits. This is the knowledge that gave Jesus the strength to die on that cross for us. It's the knowledge that gives us hope. They will condemn him to death and will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day he will be raised to life. Suffering is real. Torture is real. Mockery and pain and even death is real. But let's not forget that resurrection is also real. The grave could not hold him and it cannot hold us. The powers of evil could not stand against the victorious death of Jesus and they still can't. The virus of sin which has spread throughout the earth does have a cure and it's in the cross. Because of Jesus' death, because of his resurrection, we stand today cleansed, purified, holy. Washed by him, we have no reason to fear. We know with him that suffering may come, that even death will come one way or another. But we're able to look beyond it, to get a glimpse of the glory ahead. We're given strength by his spirit to endure. We're given hope of an earthly future. Knowing that we've placed our earthly lives in his hands, but even more, we're given the promise of a resurrection beyond death. As I write today, from the point of view of his disciples, the death of Jesus is in the future. The resurrection of Jesus is incomprehensible. But there cannot be one without the other. And we're invited to join him in both. The Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to the church in Rome, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." When we became Christians, our lives joined with his spirit lives within us. We speak of being dead to our old selves, of dying with him, and that means that while we still face physical death, we do not fear it. As he died, so we all will die. But as he was raised from death, so will we be. The resurrection we celebrate on Easter Sunday is not just his, it is ours. Let's praise him. Lord God, you endured so much that we may be set free, that we may be healed, that we may be whole. You lived and died for us and were raised back to life. And we praise you that as we live and die in you, we will join you in your resurrection. Thank you for your amazing love, your amazing power, your amazing grace. As we celebrate your resurrection today, the new life that you offer us, may we know your power and your hope at work in our lives. And would you enable us to share that with others, in Jesus' name. Amen.